Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm gonna leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's gonna go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Hickey, you warned me about the Tuanon. They're coming after me. Tell my family that I love them, all right? Because after saying that I'd rather have Justin Herbert than Tua Tagovailoa, I got some mean tweets. One of them saying, Herbert better than Tua with the question mark? Are you high? Or did you get hit with an overwhelming wave of stupidity as a kid? The Tuanon's coming after me. I need That's some weapons great. Here. I need some boxing gloves. Give me like a lifesaver or something. I need some help here. They're coming after me, this Tuanon. Take cover. Take cover. I'm putting my hood up. I need like a helmet right now on my cabeza, Hickey. People are coming after me. They're coming for Zach Gelb.
You know what they say. Expect us. You should have been expecting them.
Tell my mother and my father that I love them. Oh, geez Louise, the Tuanon's coming after me. Let me ask you this. Let's just say the Tuanon won't come after you. And you're not afraid of the Tuanon. Well, actually, you're one of them. So, do you prefer Tua or Justin Herbert? If all things were considered equal, there was going to be no retribution from your cult in the Tuanon.
In this game, I take Tua. He's healthier.
No. Not this game.
Well, it's the game. We're playing.
No. I'm saying for their career, who do you think will have the better career, Justin Herbert or Tua Tagovailoa?
Oh, wow. Who have the better? That's...
Hickey is hearing from the Tuanon right now. They are sending him texts right now.
No, I would still
life
pick
flash right before his
Justin
eyes.
Herbert, but Ooh. I don't think it's a slam dunk by any. I think it's very close.
But put it this way. Very I shouldn't close. Basically make it out to be like I'm the biggest moron in the world.
No.
When people
no.
are coming after no, me for Tuanon, saying Herbert over
no,
Tua. They're not realistic.
Deep state, if you will, in terms
like Penn
of
Penn State
Tua.
Football fans, kind of.
But. Well, I'd say passionate. That's not a bad thing.
And delusional and but like a cult.
I think it is, to Tua's credit, I think he's closed the gap significantly. And I think, again, if you, in terms of young quarterbacks, I think this is a game that could kind of change the rankings on Sunday.
It is Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. You know what I learned last year from the NFL draft? That you don't always have to have an abundance of quarterbacks go in the first round. Because last year, what was everyone's analysis? Yeah, probably only like one or two of these guys should go in the first round, but four or five are going to go because that's just what happens. That's what we get accustomed to. For the quarterback draft class this year, Hickey, before the start of the season, and maybe it's because we only saw one quarterback go in the first round last year and it was Kenny Pickett. Heck, Desmond Ridder went before Malik Willis. No one saw that coming, and now Desmond Ridder's going to start for the rest of the season for the Atlanta Falcons. But before the start of the college football season, people said, this is a loaded quarterback draft class. As we see this college football season completed, I only really feel great about one of these quarterbacks long term, and that's Bryce Young. Now, I do think that C.J. Stroud's still going to go in the top 10 picks, maybe even the top 5 picks, because I do think C.J. Stroud is a very good quarterback. Just with what I saw this year, I don't know if he's a great quarterback. But after that, you have people making the case, and I know he's coming off the injury now, for Hendon Hooker. You have who's like 24, 25 years old. You have people making the case for Will Levis. You have people making the case for Anthony Richardson. If you would take a guess right now, Hickey, and I have three mock drafts in front of me from people that we respect at CBS Sports, Well, two of them we respect, Ryan Wilson and Chris Trapasso. Now, I'm not saying I don't respect the third guy. I just don't know who he is.
Wow.
No, I don't know. Do you know who Josh Edwards is?
No, I do not.
Exactly. So I'm not going to tell you I respect Josh Edwards.
That's fair. You got to earn the respect here, Josh.
That wasn't me. Now that Josh Edwards not is going to be coming after me.
Oh, that's even deeper than the 2-9.
No, that's not taking a shot. I just don't know who the guy is. I know Ryan Wilson. We've been at the draft with him before. Chris Trapasso knows about Buffalo Wings, and he's been on this show before. So I know those two guys. But if you're on the CBS Sports website in the mock draft category and you're in the company of Ryan Wilson and then also Chris Trapasso, I got to think that you're a legit NFL expert, right? Or draft expert for whatever that means, if that's even actual title or anything. So if you had to take a guess, what do you think the number is for quarterbacks in the first round? And then we'll go through each of their three mock drafts and see if that number was right on any of them.
I will say right now, each have four quarterbacks going in round number one.
And those four would be whom? Stroud, Young, we know.
Right. Anthony Richardson and Will Levis.
Okay. I think you're probably right with four. But I just wonder, with how fresh this is on the cabeza of last year, everyone saying four or five are going to go, but they're not really deserving. It does kind of feel, not to the same extent last year, because you know you have Young, you know you have Stroud, that are automatic locks to go in the first round. After watching college football this year, does it really look like there's any of those other quarterbacks that you have to have as first-round picks? Like, Anthony Richardson was up and down. Is he a two-year project? I don't know. Will Levis played fine, but it wasn't as if that was a guy that I say, oh, I got to have in the top 10, where a lot of people were telling me that's the way we're going to talk about Will Levis at the end of the year. I think Kendon Hooker, even though he's older, his stock would have significantly jumped if he didn't tear up his leg at the end of the year. So maybe there could be some good value there in the second or third round. So I just wonder how many guys you're a Colts fan. You could be in play for a quarterback. How many guys would you say, if let's say everyone was available with the 10th pick, like how many guys would you consider?
In the first round, just one Bryce Young. I would not touch anyone else.
You wouldn't take C.J. Stroud even if he was there at like 10?
No.
Okay. Ryan Wilson. Bryce Young, Alabama, first overall pick. He does not have the next quarterback going until pick number 5. That is C.J. Stroud to the Carolina Panthers. Then after that, all the way at number 14, the Indianapolis Colts selecting Will Levis out of Kentucky. I didn't like that one, Higgy.
Don't like it.
And then does he have another quarterback? He does not.
Hmm.
So he only has three. No Anthony Richardson. Chris Trapasso. First pick, Bryce Young. Fourth pick, quarterback, C.J. Stroud to the Detroit Lions. Sixth pick, quarterback, Will Levis to the Carolina Panthers. And this is from the mock draft that he released today.
Okay.
Just all these are from either yesterday or today. After that, he does have another quarterback going. All the way at 19. Anthony Richardson to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And after that, he does not have another quarterback. So he had four. Wilson had three. Now to Hickey's BFF, Josh Edwards, who he knows very well. Bryce Young won. Wow. I like this Edwards guy. He's got stones. As Ross Tucker would say, he's got the cajones. I still can't believe Ross said that. Who do you think he has at three? Quarterback.
With your reaction, he's saying Anthony Richardson for sure.
Will Levis.
Hmm. Interesting.
He has C.J. Stroud going four. He's got four in the top 10. Anthony Richardson, 9 to the Colts. And then, does he have anyone after that?
Number 5? Can we get a 5?
Did we get a 5th one? Do we have a 5th one? We do not. You being a Colts fan, would you rather have Richardson or would you rather have Will Levis if you had to pick a quarterback?
If I had to take one of the two, I'll take the higher upside, bigger project, probably lower floor in Anthony Richardson. I'll take the chance.
Okay.
Don't feel great about it. Don't want to do it in the first round. But in this scenario you laid out, one of the two, go Richardson.
And I know we have a lot of months here to have this plan out.
Oh, plenty of time.
A lot of time. But right now, if you gave me the early hot take hickey prediction on December 8th, 2022, how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round?
I think four.
You do think it will be four?
Yes. I think Hendon Hooker's ACL injury will scare someone away from being a first-round pick. It will be a great value pick in the second round.
Is there anyone else that could surprise some people? Like, if Spencer Rattler comes out of college, I don't think he is going to be a first-round pick. But could he be a late second-round pick? You know, I don't think that would surprise me if Spencer Rattler. Anyone else that's kind of on that border there?
There's a lot of those guys that are like third, fourth-round guys that we talked about playing their way into maybe first-round picks. And now Keaton Slovis is staying in college for another year, but that was a guy we talked about going to Pitt, and maybe he'll elevate
his
stock.
He's transferring.
Right, yeah.
Because I saw...
he's in the portal.
What's his name is going to Pitt? The kid that was at BC,
Phil Jurkovec.
Remember when everyone said that guy was going to be a first-round pick?
2 years ago.
Isn't it the transfer portal with quarterbacks, I think, could be one of the more entertaining things in sports these days.
Some big names in there.
Like, just this past year, Dylan Gabriel, Caleb Williams.
Spencer Rattler. Who was a high, big-time recruit. Now you got DJ Uiagalelei.
Yeah.
You got Devin Leary. You have Keaton Slovis. You have Phil Jurkovec. A lot of guys sliding in and
his
out.
His name's Jackson escaping Dart me right year. Now. JT Daniels once again.
Again, going to be his...
The portal's his best friend.
Fourth Power 5 school.
He's a repeat offender.
Unbelievable. That, like, you see guys transfer a lot, but some guys go to AAC. They'll go to, some smaller group of five schools. In fact, he's going to go to USC, Georgia, West Virginia, and now somewhere else is unbelievable.
Do you have to kind of drop down your competition a little bit if you're him? Because you're right. He was at Georgia. He was at USC. He was at West Virginia. At this point, don't you say, okay, I go to like a group of five? Especially with the NIL money. Like, you could probably get a nice size NIL deal if you go to one of these group of five schools.
Yeah, I guess it depends where, but there would be some excitement for him coming to, like, I don't know. Temple.
We don't need a quarterback.
I'm just saying.
We got Elijah Warner.
You have Kurt Warner's son.
Good job on the Warner family. Elijah not transferring from everything I read. That's good.
Is there a thought? Is there a concern?
A lot of Temple fans were a little bit worried. Maybe he's going to leave. He had a good year.
Well, I guess that's part of the downside of the transfer portal is Drake May has to, like, tell everyone I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
You see that? He goes like, there's no other school I'd rather be, Drake May was saying. Now, when you could have gone to Alabama and you're Drake May and you have all the family connections with your brother and your father at UNC and you're originally going to go to Alabama and you go, oh, no, I'm going to go to UNC. I wasn't expecting Drake May to transfer. Were you?
No, not
especially
at all.
After the year that he just had. Like, if you're him, you're on that trajectory of being a first-round pick, being a top 10 pick, maybe being one of the first quarterbacks off the board when you become eligible. It's like, why would you transfer right now?
And to that point, it's like he'll be in that offense, he'll put up big numbers. He'll be a prospect in 2024, that draft.
Yeah.
There's no, if you don't have a bad defense, it frankly doesn't matter. He's not leaving.
Like, every kid has their own decision to make, but him being a little bit different because of the family ties to the school. But if I'm a kid where it's going well for me and I know UNC's not the biggest football powerhouse in the world, but if I'm at a school where it's working and I'm getting that national recognition and I'm getting that praise and I'm setting myself up for the future, like, why would you want to disrupt the apple cart? Like, I'm sure he could go transfer if he wanted to Alabama and he would be a stud at Alabama. We all know that. But it's working for you right now. Why even take that risk if you were someone like Drake May? That's why I never thought he was going to transfer. Now, for Elijah Warner, knowing that dad's story, Kurt Warner, isn't that like the typical underdog kind of story? Oh, that school gave me a shot when many schools weren't giving me a shot, so I'm going to reward them. If Elijah's anything like his father, that's why I think he's staying with my alma mater.
It's a good, kind of a good path to follow. And so for Temple fans, maybe take a deep sigh.
Well, also, I think if he leaves, people are going to be really mad at me. You know, because some people say that I'm a reason why Elijah Warner's there. Kurt reached out to me and was asking me some questions about the university, and I guess whatever I said was good enough for Brendan Kurt Warner to say, yeah, thumbs up, Elijah's coming to Temple. So I think some people would get mad at me. Maybe they're thinking that I'm getting in the ear and say, no, maybe you should transfer or, you know, this isn't working. And maybe they would think that I didn't do enough to keep him there. So I just hope the tables don't turn.
Well, if anything, if he leaves, Temple should look at themselves inwardly and say, oh, we're the reason of blame, not one person.
Oh, why do you have to be so mean to us little brother here?
Well, I'm not even being mean. If anything, I'm taking the heat off your back. So I'm trying to be a good guy here.
Okay. You could block for me.
Right? Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
You coming to Temple tailgate next year?
No.
Why not? What, when Kurt Warner comes to the game, you're not going to show up?
I will not be at a Temple game. No. Oh, probably ever again, actually.
You're such a loser. Were you at the Penn State Temple game when we kicked your ass?
I was not, thankfully.
Man, fun time. Fun time.
So, yeah, I can imagine. Probably the only Gilt time show. That was sold out.
Yeah, shut up. That's not true. We sold out later on that season against Notre Dame. Shut your mouth, you arrogant.
Sorry, I had to get Notre Dame in there and that big fan base. Bitch.
All right, you know what? Shut up. You root for both teams. I'm surprised you weren't at both of those games. One week you have your Penn State sweatshirt on, the next week you have your Notre Dame.
Too busy crying for the Mets World Series loss that night. So, unfortunately, I was preoccupied.
Yeah. You know what, Hickey? You're starting to annoy me. You're starting to annoy me a little bit.
Starting to?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought there's been a long, long buildup.
Connor Green, get that resume.
Oh, here we go.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball.
A fear you can't shake.
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series. Holiday triple headers at every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app and WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, replaced with batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in zone, AutoZone. So there are reportedly two finalists for the Stanford head coaching job where I don't really think we talked about this, but the two names that have been leaked out, I'm sure there's other finalists, but the two names that have been leaked out is Troy Taylor and Jason Garrett. Now, David Shaw stepping away, Hickey, that had to surprise you, right? Because it always seemed like when David Shaw, he was always rumored every year, oh, this could be a guy that goes to the NFL. And it was probably time for him to leave Stanford. He did some incredible things there. I just wonder what that dude's coaching future is now, because he's still a well-respected voice in David Shaw, and he's still young. He's only 50 years old. I think a lot of people thought he'd be older just because of how much we've talked about him. But David Shaw, he's always on the NFL Network leading up to the draft. Maybe this guy's just going to sit on his money, right, and just do TV. Like, if I'm David Shaw, and you were just at Stanford as the head coach from 2011 to 2022. If the NFL comes calling and you want to go to the NFL and try that out, you got nothing to lose, because then TV will always still be there and college will always still be there. That's what you see. Whenever these coaches go to the NFL from college, and if they flop in the NFL, It doesn't wipe away, because the college game and the NFL game is so different, it doesn't wipe away what they did in college. Yeah, fans may think, oh, there's a stench around this guy. Oh, this guy's no longer good. But if you do well in college and then you flop in the NFL, there's going to be another AD that thinks, okay, look at what this guy did in college. It didn't work in the NFL, so we'll take him back in college. So for David Shaw Hickey, I'm curious, before we get into the whole Jason Garrett conversation, what his next move is. And I would say it's probably most likely that he'll just be on the NFL Network for the foreseeable future. And then if he wants to dip his toe into the waters in a year or two from now, I would probably think, as crazy as this sounds, that it would be an NFL opportunity, maybe before even a college opportunity, just because he hasn't been an NFL head coach yet. And it's been rumored for so many years that teams would be interested in hiring David Shaw. Like, if you're walking away from Stanford, maybe you just thought the timing was right to walk away. I don't think, like, in a year from now, he's just jumping in and going to take a college job somewhere else, in my opinion. Just my feel on this one isolated situation.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's going to be on TV, and I think he's going to be on TV for a long time. Like, if he never gets back into coaching, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised at this point. Like, he stepped away where the program is really backsliding. You rarely see a coach have kind of the foresight, or at least the self-awareness, to realize, I'm maybe the problem and my voice is stale. And that's exactly what David Shaw did, just recognize this team is getting worse and worse, not better. They're 1-8 this year in the Pac-12 conference record. And I just think it's, I mean, also too, TVs, there's really, now there's no benefit to coaching, because a lot of these guys do it again. It's in their blood. But you look at the money you get, it's either equal or greater
now the
to
money
coaching.
Matters.
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to get paid $10 million, like, a lot of these guys can't stop. And again, they coach for the coaching, not for the money. If you're David Shaw, you're getting equal paycheck, and you just be on TV, better quality of life, less hours, less stress, more beneficial.
50. And I know that was your school in Stanford, but you were 50. You made a ton of money. If I'm David Shaw, yeah, like, really, I would entertain the NFL if it was in his desire to coach again. But I'm with you. Like, dude, you just coached for a decade at your school. You were a success. You made all this money. You don't even have to be regularly on TV. He could just get, like, kind of flown in around this time of the year. The draft conversation starts to pick up. And that's where he's been a star on television. You know, David Shaw, when they have him on NFL Network. And then if you want to expand that, maybe to get that entire college football fix, you just fly into, like, ESPN or CBS on a Saturday and just talk games in a studio. You know, work one day a week, 2 days a week at most.
Here's a hot take. I will preface throwing this out there.
Is this with sarcasm or actually
No, this
a hot
is actually
take?
Serious.
Oh, hold on.
I am just throwing this out, so that's why I'll say maybe a hot take.
Is this a job for David Shaw?
Yes.
And let me guess here. NFL or college?
NFL.
Ooh.
No, sorry, not a team. I think if he's going to go to the NFL, it's not going to be a head coach. I would say it'd be more front office. Because you're right, he is great during the draft time. I wonder if he was to go to the NFL. I'll ask you this. Do you think he'll even get an opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL? Like, I don't know at this point. Stanford's been bad.
They've been bad, but he's always been a guy that every year his name has been kind of thrown out there. That whether there's legitimate interest or not, every year, whenever one of those articles jump out, who could be the next coach that goes from college to the NFL? And it's always now, well, if David Shaw wants it, he could get a job tomorrow in the NFL as a head coach.
And I don't believe he's ever taken an interview. I could be wrong, but I don't think he's even entertained it to that level. So I would guess there's not a lot of interest. But I wonder, like, because he's such a good evaluator, like I said, they put him on TV every single year on the draft. If you were to go to the NFL, I wonder if it is, like, kind of for talent evaluation and to maybe be a front office guy.
Now, Jason Garrett is one of the finalists for this job. You roll your eyes. I actually think that'd be a good hire for Stanford. You don't think Jason Garrett would be a good hire in the college level for Stanford?
What does he bring to the college game? Like, I don't think there's a lot, personally.
But when he got fired from the Cowboys, when I was talking about his next job, I thought it would be more so in college than it would be the NFL as a head coach. Like, he wasn't bad in the NFL as a head coach, but we always knocked his personality, right? Because you always just see him on the sidelines just clapping. I think he's been really personable on TV. I thought he was going to be a disaster, Hickey, on TV. You even said early on, and you were ahead of this. You were actually leading the charge. You were saying, hey, yeah, he's actually pretty good on TV.
The Notre Dame game against Marshall, I thought he was great. He was absolutely tremendous.
So, and I could see him going to a college, you know, and running an entire college and being a CEO and kind of realizing, okay, I'm not going to be an NFL head coach again. Get a little invigorated, little life of, you know, getting injected into you, and you take on that new challenge. I think if you surround yourself with the right recruiters, why couldn't he be successful? It's not like he was a disaster in the NFL.
No. I just think he was more of a product of everything else around him was good. He just was along for the ride. Like Jerry Jones picking the players. His team was really good. I don't think he ever really elevated the team per se as a head coach. Now, CEO, obviously different role. And you're right. It's about who he hires, especially on the recruiting. She's like,
no. Went to Princeton too, smart guy.
Do you see him selling a recruit? I guess it's maybe part of it too. Like he's good on TV. I just don't know if in a room,
I think
he's a closer maybe you need for a school like Stanford that's already tough to get kids there anyway.
I don't think he has this like overpowering rah-rah personality, but there is more of a personality where you're dealing with a different type of kid going to Stanford. You know, just because of the grade requirements to get in, I think he could be convincing enough to get people there. That's just me. I don't think it's a bad hire. Now, I'm not telling you that it's definitely going to work, but like if it's between him or Troy Taylor, not that I'm a Troy Taylor expert here, and he's been the head coach at Sacramento State, was with Whittingham for a few years at Utah, you know, played his college ball at Cal. It's like, I don't know. Maybe Troy Taylor's the better coach. I just think from an outsider's perspective here in terms of appeal, Jason Garrett would be more appealing to me.
I guess this is what I'll say about Jason Garrett. It's not his hire specifically. It's who he hires after that. That will determine if it's a good hire or not.
Isn't that the case with most staff?
Well, I mean, it depends on college. Most of the times, the college head coach is the guy.
Yeah, but you still need a good staff here.
No, I agree, but the CEO, for the most part, that role is still not too prevalent for the most part in college, where you have a guy just be the head coach, they have an offense coordinator, carries the offense, defense coordinator handles the defense, and he kind of oversees everything. Mostly it's
like what Herm Edwards tried to do is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that did not work very well.
Well, you don't think Jason Garrett would be like plugged into what was going on? Like, I don't think he's going to bring in someone to just basically say, oh, you know, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and I'm just going to oversee everything. But you do need people on the recruiting trail like that.
And that's why it depends. His success will be on who he can hire and what that's going to do.
And you would think you'd have the connections and the relationships.
I have no idea.
You got to remember, though, a guy like that who's in the NFL, who's scouting people for all those years, too, was doing all those pre-draft interviews. There's just so many people that you come in contact with naturally. Just through college and then being a head coach, how many people try to reach out to you and try to get advice from you? There's just so many different pool of people that you could talk to that would say, okay, who would be good to put on my staff? And then I have this recommendation, I have that recommendation, this recommendation, that recommendation. Now, maybe not all those recommendations are good, sure, but I would think that he would be able to put a solid of a staff, you know, enough to have maybe some success. But also, that's a tough job. It is a tough job. With what he's taking over right now, just with how they kind of, what, for the last four or five years, like kind of lost their way?
Yeah.
From where Shaw
got
really had that thing
COVID
rolling.
Especially, but yeah.
Where you had Harbaugh and then Shaw and they were rolling. And then the last few years, it's kind of just gone back to you'd be lucky if you know, your wins exceed a handful of games. You know, it's been five games or less pretty much ever since 2019.
I don't mean this to be a crap on Jason Garrett, but yes. I will say an overall theme of college football.
Clap or crap? What did you say?
Crap. A clap works too. You have not seen many NFL-specific coaches have success in college football, where their NFL guys drop down to college ranks and then try to have success. You've seen some college coaches go to the NFL, have some success, but for the most part,
they never had the college experience as a coach before.
Right, like Jason Garrett would be, where he's been mostly an NFL guy.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen Herm Edwards. You've seen Lovie Smith drop down as well, not have success at Illinois. I wonder, not a lot of college background, if again, it's a learning curve, like you mentioned. Stanford's a very hard job anyway. Mm-hmm. He'll have patience, which is good, you know, for a first-time coach, but it's going to be an uphill climb.
Well, if you had to do this then, because now I'm intrigued by this conversation, if we had to go division by division, and you had to take current NFL head coach that you could one day see being in college, let's start with the AFC East. Who's the coach that you go with? McDermott, McDaniel, Salah, Belichick. One day coaching in college.
That's actually really tough because I could see McDaniel vibing really well with college players, and I'll also see Robert Saleh. I'll go all gas, no breaks, Robert Saleh.
I will go Bill Belichick like 8 years from now, take some like D2 job. And that's what Belichick does for like 3 or 4 years.
Do what Jim Calhoun did?
Exactly. Exactly.
Where's he from? Like, is he from the Baltimore area? Maybe go down there, get like a JUCO and coach him up?
Yeah, who knows? I'm not going to be able to give you the job there. AFC West. Andy Reid, Brandon Staley, Josh McDaniels, Nathaniel Hackett. Oof.
Now, is this most likely or like who would be the best college coach out of that?
Most likely. Like, we know Andy Reid's not.
Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're head coach again. It's not going to be the NFL.
It's not going to be the NFL.
Sorry.
I would say it's Brandon Staley. I think that a aggressive kind of personality could really work in college, and he could go really just run a program that's all analytically driven and all that, just where the NFL, he doesn't, and maybe this could hurt him people relationship-wise, but it seems like he has good relationships with people, but he just doesn't use his gut or his brain enough. But I would think Brandon Staley would be my choice there for college. AFC North, Harbaugh, Taylor, Stefanski, Mike Tomlin. Now, never say never, but never. Mike Tomlin at a big-time college would be awesome, but it would never happen. Your answer here.
Boy. I'll just say, oh, man, this is tough. I will go John Harbaugh.
Okay. AFC South. I think it's Vrabel. Like, if the only job I could see is if Ohio State opens up. Maybe Vrabel would go to Ohio State if he just gets fed up with Tennessee. Go to Ohio State for a few years, and if you want to go back to the NFL, you're young enough where that would happen. I also think Doug would be a good college coach. I thought maybe Doug, you knew the guy won a Super Bowl so he could get another NFL job, but if he didn't, because for some reason people were souring on Doug, I always thought college.
What NFC, about Jeff Saturday?
Ooh.
I don't think he's not playing himself into an NFL job, but he's a CEO kind of type.
People know who he is.
Big thing is leadership, accountability, bringing the juice, which college programs eat up. Getting those kids, you know, jacked up every 3 or 4 years and they cycle in and out.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you want to be a head coach, it's not going to be in the NFL next. It'll probably be in college.
NFC East. Now, this guy's in no danger of getting fired, but could you imagine Sirianni on the recruiting trail playing rock, paper, scissors,
shoot? He'd be great.
He would be awesome. NFC West? Well, Pete, but Pete's last job is this job, you would agree, right?
Yes. It's got to be Cliff.
It's got to be Cliff going back. That's another guy that if you leave college and you go to the NFL and it doesn't work, you'll get a job back in a second. NFC North, dude, I think Dan Campbell would, and I've said this for years, I think wouldn't Dan Campbell be a great Big Ten football coach? I love me some Dan Campbell.
Maybe Purdue. Well, he's playing too well enough in the Lions.
Yeah, he's coaching too well right
maybe
now.
Maybe Cliff can be the next Purdue coach.
NFC South.
Well, Matt Rule.
Yeah, well, he's no longer there.
It's like week two.
Back in Nebraska. Come on.
So we would have got that one right.
Arthur Smith doesn't seem like a college guy.
Todd Bowles is definitely not. Yeah, too monotone.
I could see him at like a small school, though, Todd Bowles. That wouldn't surprise me. But, man.
I go Dennis Allen.
Oh, why?
Just because I can't tell you Steve Wilkes. I can't tell you Todd Bowles. It's just benefit of the doubt. Okay. Arthur Smith. Or the best of the worst decision.
There. I'll go Steve Wilkes that there'd be like some, like kind of like Herm Edwards, just someone that has NFL connections as an AD that they bring in and it's like, okay, Steve, you need a job. You're a little bit older. Okay, we'll give you a head coaching job in college.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about.
like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Before we talk about the Raiders, who are up 10-0 in this game up against the Rams, just real quickly, when we get into the NFL playoffs, the matchups right now, if the playoffs were to start today, you'd have the Bills as the one seed. They'd have a bye. In the AFC, it would be the Chiefs against the Jets. It would be the Ravens against the Dolphins, and it would be the Titans up against the Bengals. Hickey, right now, I think we could agree 2-7, Chiefs and Jets. Chiefs would win that game.
Thanks for coming out, New York. Great season.
I don't know if it would be a blowout. Just because of that Jet defense, I don't know if it would be a blowout. I think it would be like a 10-point game, like 30-20. But I don't think that's like 54-7 in that game. Something like that. You?
I think it would be a comfortable win.
Okay.
Comfortable win.
Ravens and Dolphins. Right now, I pick the Dolphins.
Same.
Okay. Titans and Bengals. Right now, I pick the Bengals.
Rematch of last year, I would agree.
Okay. So that means we would have two of the road teams winning, and then you'd have the Chiefs taking care of business. So that would set up. That would then be the Bills would be playing the Dolphins. That would be divisional round weekend. And you'd have the Bengals playing the Chiefs.
Fun games. Two fun games.
I would go Bills-Bengals right now in the AFC title game. How do I pick against the Bengals right now against the Chiefs? They've owned them 3 times in a row.
You're not wrong. It's not even a rivalry at this point. You know, for it to be a rivalry, you got to win. Both sides got to win.
So you would say, would you agree with me that it would be Bills-Bengals right now AFC title game?
I think I would probably... No, I'm sticking with my pick with the Chiefs. I'll stick with the Chiefs.
Okay, so Chiefs.
Chiefs,
and
Bills,
then you go Bills.
Part three.
Okay.
In Buffalo this time, though.
Yes, it would be in Buffalo. Who would be going to the Super Bowl there?
I would still go with the Chiefs.
Okay. NFC, as Baker Mayfield, by the way, is now in the game. It is 10-0, 2:17 to go. I think this is the Rams' second drive of the game. Josh Jacobs had a touchdown, then the Raiders got a field goal in the first play. Baker Mayfield, play action pass. Complete.
Contract extension.
What was that, about 25-yard pass? Right?
Solid pass. Good zip on it.
You know what that looks like? That looks like a top five quarterback in the NFC.
You know what that looks like to me? Matthew Stafford starting to look over his retirement plans.
you're delusional. That was a nice little throw there by Baker.
That was. Honestly, best throw of the year, I think, without a doubt.
Was that to Van Jefferson?
Van Jefferson, about what, 20, 25 yards Panthers layered over a linebacker?
Panthers fans are watching this game. Like, my guys Mac and Bone on WFNZ, they're probably watching this game with like a beer in hand saying, where the heck was this all year, Baker? What the F? He's throwing it again. Oh, come on. Baker. He takes off runs for about 6 or 7 yards. Look at this.
This is the best offensive drive Baker's had this season.
By the way. The number 17 looks disgusting on him.
But I say you can't play good if you don't look good. That is an awful fit.
So I saw the nameplate, Mayfield. And then when I see him under center, I go, wait, is that actually him? Because you see the number 17, it's just disgusting.
The picture the Rams posted of him in the uniform the other day looked bad. Now seeing it like on TV, I can't say in person because we're not there, but seeing it in person, if you will, it's worse in the picture.
Okay.
17 is too clunky.
Let's see what happens here. All right. Hands the ball off. Going to be third and short now. Now, we will get back to our conversation in just a second. So go through the NFC matchups real quickly. But this is the biggest third down of Thursday Night Football, maybe. Third down, under 40 seconds to go in the first quarter. Baker, how does he even know the playbook here?
He has this sheet on his wrist. Like, how does he even know what he's... It has to be, like, a second language. And there's 20... I looked at least, like, 40 plays.
Well, here's my question. So if he goes down the field and scores a touchdown, you think he's coming back for another drive. Do they just have one drive scripted for him?
It has to be. Again, like, realistically, 20 plays, would you say he knows? He's been there, like, what, 40 hours? So I'd say 44 hours. He got there, like, 10 o'clock at night, they said, and then game started at 5 o'clock Pacific time.
Third and two, they went for it. He put a decent ball up there, and it was incomplete, but there's a flag on the play.
We almost had the smallest maybe touchdown in history.
Oh, was that 2-2 Atwell?
Baker Mayfield a 2-2 Atwell.
I think he got a pass interference, or at least the hold.
ESPN stats and info for that.
Yeah.
Where's Elias?
Surprised Baker could even... surprised Tutu could see Baker, and Baker could see Tutu.
The smallest height combination and the slowest weight combination of a quarterback-to-receiver pass of history has been broken. But unfortunately, not the case.
Well, they picked up the flag, by the way, which is good because that would have been a little ticky-tack call if they would have called that holding or pass interference. Anyway, in the NFC, Eagles right now have a bye. The first-round matchup, Vikings against the Seahawks. It's a pretty good wild card game right there.
Fun one.
I picked the Vikings. It's just...
Same.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I would trust Kirk Cousins a little bit more than Geno Smith.
That would be a close game, though, with that Vikings defense.
Niners and Giants. Well, I know who you're going with.
Who are you going with?
I'm taking the Niners.
Okay. Yeah. Me too.
Bucks and Cowboys. Brady against Dallas. Dun, 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 dun.
Who's taking that one?
I'm asking you.
Who I'm not taking. Cowboys in that game. Give me the Bucks.
I would take Dallas. I would take Dallas in that one.
Really?
Yeah, I would. Okay. So that means your matchups were Vikings. And you took the Vikings or the Seahawks, you took the 49ers, and then you took the Bucks.
Yes.
So, okay. So that you would be setting up a Bucks Eagles and a Vikings 49ers division round. Where do you go on that route?
Oh, I'll take the 49ers over the Vikings. Bucks Eagles.
I'm sorry. You got to take the Eagles in this one.
I want to.
I am Mr. Brady. That team is not good this year.
Zach, would it honestly surprise you? If we're sitting there, he goes into the link, and all of a sudden it's a few drives go their way. It's a low-scoring game. Jalen Hurts getting a little frustrated. And we're sitting there like 24-20, ball in Brady's hands 2 minutes to go. I'm taking the Bucks. Hate to say it.
So you have a Bucks-Niners NFC title game?
That's right.
Ugh, that would be disgusting this year.
Wow.
Brock
I'd
Purdy?
I'd be excited.
Would Jimmy G then come back for that game?
No. You ride with the Brock man. Well, I will say, backup quarterbacks with...
Let me tell you.
Genital nicknames are undefeated in the playoffs. Do you see what they're calling Brock Purdy?
Oh.
You can imagine what they're calling him. Big blank Brock. Just like big blank Nick for the Nick Foles going back to the Eagles Super Bowl.
At first I thought you just
misspoke. I'm not betting against that.
And you meant general. And I'm like, what did he just say?
Oh, no. Male genitalia nicknames are undefeated in the playoffs.
You're an expert at that. I'll tell you that.
I'm riding with the numbers. Analytics. I'm an analytics man. Brock Purdy to the Super Bowl. Lock it up.
You're such a...
I may have to change my pick now. Forget the Chiefs winning. I'm going to have to go 49ers now.
You're really insufferable. You just made that playoff race just so convenient for the 49ers just because you're still digging your heels in deep that the Niners are going to the Super Bowl. I would bet you another dinner that the Niners aren't going to the Super Bowl this year, but you haven't owed me my other dinner that you owe me, so shame on you. Coward you are. Aaron Murray going to join us next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about.
like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.